Welcome aboard to episode number 14 of Messing About in Ships, March 6, 2008. This week we bring you a Mariner's Perspective with Captain Kelly Sweeney, some listener comments, Stormwatch with Rob Stormer, our sea stories about the USS New York and Sir Edmund Hillary and the Spirit of Adventure, our internet ports of call, and finally, some pod safe music. Welcome to episode 14 of Messing About in Ships. I'm Peter Mello from SeaFever.org, and my podcasting partner is Captain John Conrad from GCaptain.com. Hey, John, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you, Peter?
I'm really good. Keeping busy. How about yourself? What's going on out there on the ship?
Yeah, the annual security audit and ISM audit, so keeping busy.
Yeah, things going smoothly?
Yeah, things are going smoothly and getting off tomorrow, and we should be having a baby next week or next week or two.
Wow,
exciting times.
Exciting. Keep you busy. You already have one at home.
Yeah.
You already have one. Jack is how old?
He's almost two.
Almost two. So, yeah, you're going to have your hands full.
Luke celebrated a birthday, I saw.
He did. Yeah, he got a bunch of comments there on my blog. We put his cake up there. His mom made a Go Diego Go cake for him, and he actually probably the most amazing gift he got was from my parents. He got a real, authentic fireman's outfit. My mother found a company that makes the real deal for adult real firemen, and they also make them and for kids who are 3 feet tall. So he has one of those. Wore it out to the restaurant the other night. Yeah, he wore it out to a restaurant the other night. And we sat right next to a guy, and he said, "Hey, I'm a fireman. Where'd you get that? That's amazing." And he had a 3-year-old son. So Luke was strutting around town in his fireman's outfit. You can I'll probably put a picture up. I think that is no, I guess I don't have a link on my on seafever.org, but my Flickr account certainly has a picture of him up there in his fire outfit. He's the bee's knees. But you got exciting stuff. You got exciting stuff going on over there, and we wish you all the best. And look forward to getting the good news, and hopefully you can break it here with us on the podcast next week.
Sure will. Keep you informed.
Good stuff. Well, this week we have Captain Kelly Sweeney with his Mariner's Perspective. He's going to tell us a little bit about his experience in going for his TWIC card. So here's Kelly Sweeney.
Ahoy, everyone. This is Captain Kelly Sweeney with a Mariner's Perspective. Last Friday, I made the 2.5-hour drive into the Seattle Transportation Workers Identification Credential Center, TWIC Center. When I pulled up at the parking lot, I expected to see an office building or something like that, and it turned out to be a room in the Fraternal Order of Eagles Lodge. I walked in the glass doors. There was a lady sitting at the desk, and she said, "Have you pre-enrolled?" I said, "I sure have." She goes, "Where's your paperwork?" And I said, "Well, I enrolled by phone. I didn't get any paperwork." She goes, "Did you make an appointment?" I said, "Yeah." "It's for 11:30. For a few seconds, I thought, "Oh, I made a dry run." Luckily, she said, "Go sit down." I'm still not sure if she ever found any paperwork on me, but at least she took my word for it. And I had pre-enrolled by phone. As I was waiting there, I had a chance to talk with a couple of Washington State ferry engineers, but there was a guy at the end of my row. There was a bunch of rows, two rows of chairs, probably 15 or 20 chairs, and there was a guy there who was not looking too happy. About 10 minutes before my appointment, which was at 11:30, before lunchtime, one lady came up and said, "You know, you're going to have to come back after lunch," she told that guy. You don't have an appointment. Everybody else here does. So I learned firsthand two things this week that I wanted to pass on to you this week. Pre-enrolling is a good idea. And if you can do it by computer, even better. Because when you do it by computer, you get written confirmation that you could print out that you've made your, completed your pre-enrollment and made your appointment, which is the second thing. You've got to make an appointment. If you don't, everybody, it's true, everybody has to wait for all the rest of the people at the center who have appointments to finish their business, and then you can go in. But like that guy at the end of the row found out last Friday, it doesn't always work that way. In my next mirror's perspective, I'll tell you a little bit about the people that were there when I underwent my enrollment, and about the screening and the fingerprinting and some of the stuff that they did. Till next time, I wish all of you smooth sailing. This is Captain Kelly Swing.
Well, thank you, Kelly, for those interesting comments. We've been getting a lot of interest about people having questions about TWIC and the various TWIC cards, where we got some wiki software, the same software Wikipedia uses, and we're really interested in launching it on GCAP. And the other side of the coin is we're already really busy with the features we have, so we're looking for an editor. And we have a small budget to possibly pay a motivated cadet to edit the wiki and keep on top of it. But if we can find someone, we're going to launch it and hopefully have a lot of interesting things, including a TWIC page. So.
Excellent. That's exciting. I think the technical term is a wiki gardener, isn't it?
Wiki gardener.
Yeah. I think you're a gardener if you tend to a wiki. So anyway,
obviously not qualified to do so. we're looking for people.
All right, that's a great idea for students. So maybe we can reach out to a couple. I know we have Robert Hart, right, from California Maritime, and we have Christian Conover from Mass Maritime. I think listened to the show. Maybe one of those guys or both of those guys might be interested. So if you're listening, contact John. We didn't have any comments this week, but we did have a bunch of people put themselves up on our listener chart, our listener map that's on the blog, the Messing About and Ships blog. And the first one we'll mention here is Carrie Kegnet from St. Pete's Beach, Florida. And she has a picture of herself in front of the American Liberty. It's a ship down there, and we appreciate her posting herself up there. We have another SV, Helen Garr, and I did look Helen Garr up, and all I could discover is a Swedish drinking song. So so if there is such a vessel, welcome aboard. If not, then they go into the same category as Bart Simpson, probably, that we have on there. We have Matora, I think it's how it's pronounced, from Littleton, New Zealand. Heidi Cool, and Heidi writes, I'm just a casual sailor who finds the podcast interesting, so I thought I'd share a picture of a local ship, the steamship William G. Mather, North Coast Harbor, Cleveland, Ohio. Heidi is one of our friends on Pounce, I think, as well, and I have a little experience there. I brought the tall ships into Cleveland a number of times, three times, 2001, 2003, 2006, and actually spent a night in a snowy night in February of 2006. I slept aboard the William Mather, which is a museum ship, one of those big old Lakers, and instead of taking a hotel, I got to sleep in one of the cabins aboard the ship, which was pretty cool. So anyway, thanks, Heidi. And then finally, we have David, who that's all the identification on the map, although it looks like he's from somewhere in the Midwest. So welcome aboard as well. So this week, we also have Rob Storm and his Stormwatch. So take it away, Rob.
This is Robin Storm, and this is Stormwatch for the week of 6 March 2008. Shipping forecast and gale warnings. All mariners take notice. The shipping forecast is issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1725 on Thursday, 6 March 2008. There are warnings of gales in Portland, Plymouth, Fitzroy, Seoul, Lundry, Fashnet, Irish Sea, Shannon, Rockall, Marlin, Herbies, Bailey, Fair Isles, Faroes, and Southeast Iceland. The synopsis. An Atlantic low moving steadily east, expected Fair Isles at 977 by midday tomorrow. High Fitzroy, 1033, losing its identity. The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north, variable 4, becoming southerly 6 or 7, perhaps gale 8 later. Seas, very rough or high. Rain, and then squalls. Visibility moderate or good, and occasionally to poor. South Viking, northwesterly backing southerly 5 to 7. Seas very rough or high, rain, and then squally showers. Visibility moderate to good to occasionally poor. Humber Thames, Dover right. West or southwest 5 to 7, perhaps gale 8 later. Seas moderate to rough. Rain, then to showers. Visibility moderate or good to occasionally poor. Portland, Plymouth. West or southwest 5 to 7, occasionally gale 8. Moderate or rough, occasionally very rough. Rain, then to showers. Visibility moderate or good, occasionally poor. Biscayne, variable 4, becoming westerly 5 to 7. Seas moderate to rough, rain later, visibility moderate to good. South Fitzroy, northeast backing northwest 4 to 5, occasionally 6. Seas moderate or rough. Showers, visibility good. North Fitzroy, southwest veering northwest 5 to 7. Occasionally gale 8. Seas moderate or rough. Occasionally very rough. Rain to showers. Visibility moderate to good. Seoul, southwest 7. The severe gale 9 veering northwest 5 to 7. Seas rough or very rough. Rain then the showers. Visibility moderate or good, occasionally poor. Lundry, Fishnet, and Irish Sea. West or southwest 5 to 7. Occasionally gale 8. Rough or very rough. Rain then showers. Moderate to or good visibility, occasionally to poor. Shannon, Rockall, Marlin, and Herbies. West or southwest, 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9. Seas, rough or very rough. Rain or squalls to showers. Visibility good to occasionally poor. Bailey, cyclonic becoming westerly 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9. Seas, rough or very rough, increasing very rough or high. Rain or squally winter showers, visibility moderate or good to occasionally poor. Fair Isle, southerly veeringly westerly 5 to 7, occasionally gale 8, perhaps severe gale 9 later. Seas very rough or high. Rain or wintry squall showers, visibility good to occasionally poor. Faroes, southeast Iceland, easterly becoming cyclonic 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9, decreasing 5 for a time. Seas, very rough or high. Rain, then to wintry showers. Visibility, moderate to good to occasionally poor. Tropical cyclones. Cyclone Jokwe was 657 nautical miles northwest of Port Louis in Monterrey. Wind speed, 93 kilometers per hour. Cyclone Ophelia was 720 nautical miles north-northwest of Perth, Australia. Wind speed, 74 kilometers per hour. Shoreside, United States. This week, throughout the states, is severe weather preparedness week. Make sure your family and loved ones are prepared for the event of dangerous severe weather at home. For further information, log on to www.ready.gov. This has been Robin Storm for Stormwatch. Visit Robin Storm at robinstorm.blogspot.com. May fair winds be with you always.
Thanks, Rob, for those coming on the year as well.
Definitely.
You had the first story this week, Peter?
Oh, sure. I just want to talk a little bit about a story that I had actually posted on my blog, and it's about Sir Edmund Hillary and the spirit of adventure. And I think most people know Edmund Hillary, hopefully. He was the first person to successfully scale Mount Everest with a Sherpa named Tenzing Norgay. And they did that, I think that was in 1953, yep. And he passed away about a month ago, in January, I believe, so it's probably coming up on 2 months now. He was 88 years old. He died, I think, of a heart attack. He's from New Zealand, and there is a tall ship in New Zealand called the Spirit of New Zealand, which is operated by the Spirit of Adventure Trust, and one of his wishes was to have his ashes sprinkled in the Hauraki Gulf in New Zealand, and he was a patron of the Spirit of Adventure Trust, I believe, and I guess in his book, View from the Summit, he wrote, "Like my ashes spread on the beautiful waters of Auckland's Hauraki Gulf, to be washed gently ashore, maybe on the many pleasant beaches near the place where I was born, then the full circle of my life will be complete." So that sail training ship, which is a really one of the top programs in the world, had the honor to make the last wish of Sir Edmund Hillary bring his the full circle of his life complete. So I posted about that and had some links to some of the stories about Sir Edmund Hillary and some of his quotes. I love some of his quotes. One of them, I'll just read to you here. "You don't have to be a fantastic hero to do certain things to compete. You can just be an ordinary chap sufficiently motivated." And then I like this one too. "People do not decide to become extraordinary. They decide to accomplish extraordinary things." Yeah, he's a pretty humble guy, and obviously the first to successfully scale Mount Everest was a major accomplishment at that time. And now it's slightly different. Lots and lots of people have, with lots of money, scale Mount Everest with lots of equipment. But the Spirit of Adventure Trust in the Spirit of New Zealand is an interesting organization, and the second part of my post was basically about them, and they're very good at generating buzz, because back in 2006 they got some international attention when they had a piece of the America's Cup, and they tried to auction it off as a charity benefit. And they got that piece when, in I think it was 1996, the cup was actually, or 97, the cup was attacked by a protester in New Zealand with a sledgehammer. And really, some significant damage was done to the cup. It has since been totally repaired. And the Spirit of New Zealand somehow came upon a piece of the cup, and they thought, well, we are a nonprofit charity, and if we try to sell this to somebody, we'll make some money for ourselves. Well, it kind of created a buzz in the sailing world. The Swiss, who held a cup at that point, were dead set against this, and many people in the sailing world actually voiced their concerns, and that auction never took place. However, the publicity that they got from this was pretty significant. So I blogged a little bit about that, got some links to the articles, and then finally there's a great little funky video somebody had done about the Spirit of New Zealand, a short video on YouTube, and I've put that in my blog post. So in the show notes we'll have a link to it. But Sir Edmund Hillary, it just seems like and one of the other reasons I posted about this, it seems like as we get older, these kind of heroes, we have fewer and fewer of these kind of modern-day heroes, these icons even, you know, they're passing away because it's, you know, fewer opportunities to explore and going to the moon or climbing Mount Everest. Or we certainly have, you know, lots of places on the sea to kind of conquer and explore, but, you know, we're losing a lot of these leaders and explorers, so I just thought it was worth noting. That's my story this week.
Yeah, it's interesting, but you know, I can't help to think the flip side of it, that there's so much opportunity to explore and learn for the average person now. I guess that might be the positive.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the, you know, I was just kind of thinking of from the iconographic, the kind of, you know, once in a, not even once in a lifetime, but the icons that are created through this adventure and exploration. But certainly there's so many opportunities for the average person to either go to sea, or even if we've seen with the Explorer down in the Antarctic, lots of ships are going to places in the world where very difficult to get to previously. Those obviously create some challenges, but obviously some really amazing and unique opportunities. So what's your story this week, John?
Yeah, I have a story we missed. So we transitioned GCaptain over to a dedicated server, which means we used to be run on a shared a computer with a few other websites, and now we have our own computer sitting in a data center somewhere. Transition went fairly well, a few small hiccups. I appreciate all our readers who stuck through it, and we still have a few bugs to clean up. If you see anything, please email me with them. But a few stories got dropped, just busy, and one's pretty important. The USS New York, this is a Navy ship. It was commissioned to be built just prior to September 11th, and after September 11th happened, they decided to name the ship the USS New York, and what they did is they took the steel recovered from the World Trade Center, and they actually melted it down and used it in the construction of the ship. And the ship was finally launched just last week, and it's a brand new new Navy ship, and they had a lot of. They had some firemen from New York down at the commissioning, and some of the victims' families, and it's just a good thing to remember. And it's unfortunate we dropped the story, so I wanted to let our podcast listeners know about it. My father was a city fireman, worked in Rescue 3 in New York City, and. The crew on duty that day lost their lives, and I think it's important to remember. And it's the time's going by, and there are questions about what our priority is as a country. But there's still the heroes out there working the job every day.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's, I think I posted about it. There's also, and if not, we should, I'll find it and put it up on there. There's an awesome video, and a website about, the maritime industry during, the rescue operations during September 11th. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I read the article a while ago. It was real interesting. The maritime component, Manhattan being an island, they had to evacuate people. And a lot of the ferries and the small launches that go out and bring the supplies to the various ships anchored out there, they had to quickly get together and organize an effort to evacuate people. And I don't know the exact number, But they did an amazing job of getting the resources together, and people moved safely over to New Jersey. So it was a great effort.
Yeah, definitely.
I wanted to quickly read off a few names. These are I don't know if I can do that, Peter.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to take a minute?
Yeah, what's the next topic?
Internet ports a call.
Yeah, sounds good. Just wanted to dedicate the story to the guys of Rescue 3 there.
That's great. We appreciate that. You want to jump?
Port a call is...
Yeah.
Well, is it today?
Let's. Our internet ports are called this week. Mine is Christian Conover is a Mass Maritime. I believe he's a freshman, but he's a Mass Maritime student, and he's pretty web savvy. He's very web savvy. I shouldn't say pretty. He has a couple different blogs, and he was blogging, if you remember that story we did about the Mass Maritime sea term cruise that they did over the last few.
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah, well, he was
actually blogging from the training ship.
Yeah, he was, and he's on Twitter, and he's now changed his main blog to cover his year at Mass Maritime, so... classes just, I think, they set their schedules, I think, yesterday. So it'd be interesting to see what he does with this. I thought he did a really fantastic job while he was on the Sea Term cruise to give us an inside look on what it's like to be a young cadet through that experience. And hopefully this will be just as interesting. So we'll tune people into his blog. It's Christian, and it's christianconover.com, and we'll definitely have a link in the show notes, but he's been blogging the last couple of days of what it's like to kind of get his schedule set and stuff, so, you know, I think it's good for especially any young people thinking about going to maritime school. Well, here's, you know, you got a great opportunity to see what he's going through, and you got an opportunity to look back at his cruise. So let's give him a shot. In fact, I think we should invite him on here and interview him or have him do a round table with us too, because he seems to be a pretty cool kid. So what's your internet?
Absolutely, and it's amazing the blogs can really offer. And GCaptain's an open site. We really encourage any cadet to write an article. And yeah, as long as it's something you know well, and that could be the school or something you learned in class and share it. But I got a real interesting email this week. It was from a captain of 30 years who works with the IMO right now in the United Nations, and it was a pretty interesting question about maritime law, and he sent it to the GCaptain account and said, you know, can you help me out with this topic? And I'd really appreciate it. And I wrote him back. I said, yeah, I think I know someone who works with the IMO as a maritime lawyer with 30 years experience. It'd be perfect for this.
Huh.
But the interesting thing is just how it reaches out in the community, and how your small topic. And I just got my Captain Unlimited license a few years ago, and by putting this blog and getting readers to trust you and your opinion, you really opens up opportunities and doors. And the most amazing part of the story, though, is the other captains that I've met with a lot more experience than me, I was able to forward his question on to some other G-Captain readers and enthusiasts, and we actually got part of it answered. So
great.
I think the community and if it's a great opportunity for cadets to really get in there early and just show what they know, and it opens doors and gets you meeting people in the industry and gets you thinking about different topics.
Yeah, and
encouraging.
It's a great opportunity for them. They should definitely take advantage of it because, you know, it's a resume builder and it's also a networking opportunity, so it can't hurt. So we hope they, both Robert and Christian and any other cadets, jump aboard this opportunity that's there to participate with a wiki and participate on your blog. There's all kinds of ways for them to do it. So what's your protocol this week?
Mine is expeditionyacht.org, and this is a fairly new website, and I found out about this by the owner of the website, Thorwald Westmus, and he's a second engineer who decided to give up the life of shipping and start restoring trawlers. So he started kind of thinking about doing it for himself. He wanted to build a restore a trawler, so he purchased one and began the project, and actually found a buyer for it before he was able to finish it for himself. And now he's turning it into a sort of business where he helps people find these trawlers and restore it. But the interesting part is he blogs about it. Like the shipwright in training, he's learning along the way and exploring the different options. And he kind of walks you through some of his decisions and how he goes about the conversion of these commercial trawlers into some pretty neat yachts.
Cool. Cool.
So he's got pictures and diagrams, and again, it's a fairly new site, but it's showing a lot of promise. And the real interesting thing is that it's an actual second engineer, so someone who's been there with the commercial ships and done that, kind of watching him struggle through some of these problems.
I look forward to. I haven't heard that one. I haven't been there. I look forward to checking it out. It sounds good. Definitely sounds good. So what else you got? This week we think we're going to do a little bit shorter show. You have anything else before we kind of close up here?
No, that's it for tonight, Peter.
Okay, great. Well, you know, we encourage people to do as the cast of characters we mentioned earlier did and plot themselves on our map on the blog. And the blog is messingaboutinships.com. And, of course, comment there. You can send us an email with a comment, attach an audio file, and we'll insert it in the podcast. And you can get John over at gcaptain.com, all the great ways you can interact.org. You can Skype us. We have voicemail on our Skype account, and that's M-A-I-S podcast, M-A-I-S podcast. And finally, we have a Skype in number 206-973-7000. So that's 206-973-7000. No excuses for not getting in touch with us. So we look forward to hearing from you. And John, I look forward to talking to you next week. Hopefully we can schedule something in here, but if you're off duty, maybe we'll find somebody to step in to perform some emergency podcast, co-podcasting, co-host podcasting. So
yeah, it should be an exciting time. We're doing the whole birth from home. So
maybe we could do that on the pod.
A lot of fun.
Maybe we could do that on the podcast then. So if you're next Tuesday night,
we'll let our listeners vote if they want to hear about that or not.
All right. Well, good talking to you. Good luck with everything. Have a safe trip home, and have a great week next week.
All right. Take care. See you next week.
Yep. This is National Sleep Awareness Week, and John did a post over on his blog about it and the Crew Endurance Management System. So It's very interesting. In honor of that, we found some PodSafe music here that by They Might Be Giants from the PodSafe Music Network, and the song is Am I Awake?
Am I awake? What time is it? When I get through this day, can someone tell me how? And how much longer now am I awake? The coffee's cold, did I forget to drink it yet? Did I forget? My clothes are wet, I don't remember drinking it. When I get through this part, will the next one be the same? Will I be wondering if I'm awake? These are not the clothes I had on when I went to bed, and something else besides my head is growing from my head. And when I close my eyes, it looks the same as when I open them again. Am I awake? What time is it? Is it that time again? Wasn't it already then? So does it have to be the time it was again? When I get through this day, can someone tell me how? And how much longer now am I through this day? Can someone tell me how? And how much longer now am I awake? When I get through this day,